Just to go ahead and get started, just give the normal disclosures and share with you what I think are the two learning objectives for today's session. I'd like to describe the legislatively enacted business entity and governance structure of state-based health insurance exchanges. In addition, provide some discussion around the range of administrative and ethical standards that promote HIE independence and accountability. The purpose of this research was essentially to assess the impact of business model and governance structure on the independence, accountability, and effectiveness of state-based health insurance exchanges. Thus, the research question was essentially, do business model and governance structure impact the independence, accountability, and effectiveness of state-based HIEs? For this study, I want to be sure that we're on the same accord, so the following definitions will apply. A state-based health insurance exchange essentially refers to a marketplace entity mandated by the Affordable Care Act and established and operated by an individual state. Business model refers to the type of business entity under which the exchange will operate as legislated by the state. And the governance structure will refer to the state legislative requirements for HIE governing authority. Also, any statistical references that are included in this presentation will actually include the District of Columbia. What we do know is that HIEs were established as mandated by the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act of 2010, with three options being available, either a state-based health insurance exchange, a federally facilitated exchange, a state partnership, which is a hybrid with the federal government and the state. The purpose for an HIE essentially being to serve as a competitive organized marketplace that would allow consumers and small businesses to buy health insurance in a way that permitted comparison of available plan options based on price, benefits, and quality. But for this presentation, the state-based exchanges are what we are going to focus on, and there were 16 state-based exchanges plus the District of Columbia deciding to implement their own exchanges. 13 states plus the District of Columbia, 13 out of 16 plus the District of Columbia, actually established their insurance exchanges through legislative action. Three states, essentially Kentucky, New York, and Rhode Island, chose to establish their HIEs through executive order out of the governor's office. Federally mandated functions, regardless of which type of health insurance exchange you set up, there were four areas of federally mandated functions in the area of administration in terms of administering a system of qualified health plans through the exchange itself. Functions relative to consumer support, mainly being supportive enrollment in health plans and assisting consumers, and in that particular function we found our navigation programs. Assistance determination from the perspective of determining eligibility for assistance in actually obtaining health insurance, and community engagement, ensuring that appropriate stakeholders were consulted in carrying out all of those mandated functions. The focus for the literature was on state-based HIEs, business models, governing authority, and measures of effectiveness. It showed that there were essentially three health insurance exchange business entity options. A health insurance exchange could be set up as a quasi-governmental entity, basically an independent entity of the state itself, although still legislatively determined by the state legislature. It could be set up as a state entity, basically a new governmental entity or an entity within an existing state agency. It could also be set up as a nonprofit entity, being a private organization, not necessarily governed by the state itself. These options were actually handed down by the Department of Health and Human Services to assist states in setting up their health insurance exchanges. What we found was that there were some business model challenges. Essentially, health insurance exchanges are mandated by federal law. As such, their functions are mandated by the feds, and their regulatory requirements are issued by the Department of Health and Human Services. That becomes a challenge because of the fact that HIEs are created by state legislative action. And as such, they will operate under state statutes. As a result, there are some legal considerations that several states had to take into account, the main one being whether or not a state constitution would permit something like a nonprofit entity or organization to actually run and function as a state entity. From a business operations perspective, the challenges were related to political independence. How autonomously could the state unit actually function and operate? From a decision-making perspective, would there be would it be void of political influence? From an accountability perspective, who would a state health insurance exchange be accountable to? Would it be accountable to the governor and the governor alone? Would it be accountable to the legislature that created it? Or if it was funded by taxpayer money, would it be accountable eventually to the taxpayers for the money that was spent for it to operate? From an executive management perspective, would the health insurance exchange be free of conflict of interest? This is especially important because you have private insurance companies as a part of the health insurance exchange offering health plans through the exchange. So the potential for conflict of interest could be high. Would there be minimal subjection to administrative rules and regulations? In other words, would the health insurance exchange be subject as a state entity to the rules and the administrative regulations regarding hiring personnel, contracting with outside agencies, and those sorts of activities, as well as procurement rules? Funding mechanisms for future operation was also considered a challenge. And then financial management concerns regarding things like reporting, oversight, monitoring, and auditing of finance activities. What I found was that there were three governance structure options. States could either set up an independent governing board for their health insurance exchange, set up an advisory board, or set up a regional advisory committee. Challenges, however, notwithstanding which governing structure you chose, the challenges were basically the same. Who are the policymaking and administrative officials of the exchange, and how would they be chosen? What kinds of policy decisions would the exchange be empowered or even required to actually make? What flexibility would the exchange have with regard to personnel, procurement, and other administrative matters? Where would the exchange actually be located within the state? And how is the exchange going to be funded? From a governing authority perspective, most of the challenges set forth in the areas of, actually six areas, apportionment. From the perspective of the legislative enactment of the governing authority, how many folks sitting on the governing board would be apportioned to the governor's office? How many would be apportioned to the legislative body? Appointment-wise, would there be some restrictions on who, in fact, could be appointed to the board? What I did find was that one state actually restricted any appointment of insurance, of individuals who had anything to do with the insurance industry as members of their HIE board. From a composition perspective, there needed to be a representation of various interests as well as a range of business expertise. There needed to be small business as well as consumer participation on the board, and that was actually, for the most part, strongly encouraged by the Department of Health and Human Services in its regulations. Most importantly, board size was important from the perspective of expertise and functionality. A board that was way too large, as in multi-members, greater than 15 members on the board, led to decision-making problems, and smaller boards were tasked with having not sufficient expertise to actually be able to help the insurance exchange function properly. This was a descriptive study, qualitative methodology, using sources such as JSTOR, Galileo, PubMed for search engines. 63 items were identified, 29 were used. The biggest limitation for this study was the idea that there were a limited number of journal articles and quantitative findings. And that's pretty much because HIEs just became fully operational in January of this year. So there still is not a lot of quantitative data in terms of how they performed. So that made some of this pretty much a qualitative research project. From a business model perspective, there were four areas that they were assessed in: the level of independence of the HIE, its potential for government oversight in its operations, the potential for political influence, and the financial and decision-making authority that was associated with each type of business model. What I found was that 10 states, or about 59% of the state-based exchanges, set up quasi-governmental business entities. For this particular type of model, independence and government oversight was tied largely to legislative decisions. There was a high potential for political influence through the governance structure, and financial funding and decision-making authority rested, for the most part, with the legislatively defined. And it could actually be, from a funding perspective, dependent on appropriations from the state legislature on an annual basis. Five states, or about 29% of the state-based health insurance exchanges, were enacted as state agencies or offices within existing entities. For these, independence and government oversight was tied to the agency within which the health insurance exchange was actually placed. There was less potential for political influence. Most of these winded up having advisory boards as opposed to governing boards. And financial funding and decision-making regarding the health insurance exchange was mainly a function of the agency or the department head. Two states, about 12%, New Mexico and Hawaii, actually set up their health insurance exchanges as nonprofit entities. For them, independence and government oversight is minimal, and they do have the highest level of independence, basically because they're not tied back to any legislative requirements. There is, however, a high potential with a nonprofit for political influence through the governance structure. Once again, who you put on the board of a nonprofit relative to the activities that the board has to, in fact, be engaged in, and the HIE has to be engaged in, can lead to some political influence. And financial funding and decision-making authority lies with the nonprofit, not with the legislature, but can also be dependent on legislative appropriations if that's how the funding has been legislatively designed. From a governance structure perspective, six areas were looked at: the type of governing board, the size of the board, the governing authority composition, the appointment, the apportionment, and any restrictions on the body membership. Governance structure by governing authority type, I found that 15 states put in place independent governing authorities, one state put in place an advisory board, and one state put in an advisory committee structure. Governance structure by board size yielded 15 states who had governing boards anywhere from 5 to 19 members on the board, with 11 being the mean. One state had a 19-member advisory board, and one state, New York, had 5 regional advisory committees with a total of 180 members on the regional advisory board. By composition, there was a wide variety across the 16 states plus the District of Columbia. 9 states, or 53%, required consumer and small business representation on the board, really imperative to the function of the HIE itself. One state required consumer participation, but not small business participation on its board or representation, and that was New Mexico. 7 states, or about 41%, had no requirement for either consumer or small business representation on the board. When I looked at appointment, 5 states, or 29%, had appointments by the governor or the mayor, solely by the governor or the mayor. one state, Vermont, appointed all of their board members from the state employees. That's who they decided needed to be on the board. And eight states actually appointed non-voting members, and those were individuals who maybe headed up a commission or a department within the state government that had some relatively important activity along with what the functions of the health insurance exchange itself. For instance, a non-voting member on an exchange might be the commissioner of insurance for the state, who would bring some expertise to the table, but wasn't necessarily a voting member of the board. Okay, thank you. Seven measures of effectiveness. They were informed by the Massachusetts and the European experiences. Three were in the area of model design, two were in the area of financing, and two were in the area of governance. 71% showed some independence of legislative or state administrative requirements, while 59% showed themselves to be apolitical and free of the influence of elected officials. 71% had the flexibility to actually develop external relationships, while 82% have financing strategies for sustainability that are legislatively defined, including an appropriation each and every year for the health insurance exchange to actually run and function. 82% have the authority to implement sustainability strategies, with 47% having governing board appointments that legislatively require both consumer and business representation. 35% had apportionment of board members that was a mix of legislative and executive branch power. So, essentially, from an operational independence perspective, I found that your state entities are the least independent. Your quasi-governmental entities, right about in the middle, and your nonprofits having the most independence when it came to operational activities. From a legislative accountability perspective, that kind of flipped, and your nonprofit organizations winded up having less accountability to the legislature in terms of the activities that they put in place for the health insurance exchange. Again, your quasi-governmental entities fell in the middle, and your state entities had the most accountability back to the legislative branch. Conclusion, business model can impact health insurance exchange independence, accountability, and effectiveness. Governance structure, including the type of governing authority, its board composition, the apportionment elements, the appointment of individuals from a representation perspective, and its size can impact HIE independence, accountability, and effectiveness. Significance of the research, it serves basically as a baseline for evaluating state-based HIE business entity model and governance structures here in their first year of operation. It provides a reference for federally facilitated HIEs that may eventually become state-based in the future, and it also serves as a baseline for a comparative analysis of the business model and governance structure, strengths and weaknesses of both regarding independence and accountability. References, and I want to thank you for your attention.